Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. How would you explain the concept of impossible? How would you explain that concept? All I could find are phrases of actions that would be impossible. So here's what I found out. The first one is, you cannot have the cake and eat it. I guess that was for Pastor Peter. Glad you got your cake. Answer prayers. You can't freeze hell. You cannot drink the sea. You cannot square a circle. A zebra can't change its stripes. I don't know, maybe you're familiar with some of these sayings. All of these convey the message of something that you could try, but it will be impossible to do. You can attempt the impossible, but the end result will be to fail. In ancient times, people would use the image of a needle and an animal to say that something was impossible. You can try the impossible, but you would never, ever be able to feed a whole animal through the eye of a needle. So to say that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God, it was indeed very shocking. Especially because back then, people with wealth were thought to be privileged by God, blessed by God, by evidence of their wealth. So it didn't make sense to the people to whom Jesus was talking. We don't know much about these men who came running to Jesus. The explanation that the gospel tells us as to why this person could not do what was being asked by Jesus is that he had many possessions. He was asked to give up all his richness for the sake of eternal life. So he went away grieving. He couldn't do what Jesus was asking of him. Maybe this man thought it was unfair. If I were to put myself in the shoes of this man, I would think others did not deserve receiving what I worked so hard to accumulate. Well, if this person earned his wealth in an honest way, a biblical scholar mentioned that this man might have gained this wealth by defrauding peasants, by charging interest on loans, which violates the commandment against stealing. Then this will have served as good news to the peasants, right? Whether he earned his wealth in an honest way or not, we do not know. But what we know is that he had become so attached to his material goods that he had formed his identity around wealth, which made him unable to turn to their neighbors in need and to be generous to them. Now, money also represents power and privilege, a position in the world. Jesus was basically asking that in order to obtain eternal life, in order to experience the kingdom of God, he needed to give up what was standing in between him and his neighbors. There was a big gap among the rich and the poor. They did not have a relationship. I think by giving some of his goods to those who he never had a relationship would allow him to actually have a relationship with them. Just to be clear, I don't think Jesus is condemning people with wealth. And Jesus is not expecting you to go out and sell all of what you have. So don't do that after the service. What Jesus was teaching was that when it comes to obtaining life with God, when it comes to obtaining a place in heaven in order to experience the world of God, which is often called the kingdom of God, it is impossible to earn that. It is impossible for us to secure a place with God on our own efforts or even win God with our good behavior, which may also cause us to grieve as well. The question being asked of us today by this gospel reading is, where have you formed your identity around? Maybe it's not wealth that we have formed our identity around, but maybe it is something else. Maybe we have made our jobs or certain relationships to be where we have formed our identity around. It could be anything. It could be the Dodgers that we have formed our identity around. Whatever it would be, hard for us to let go in order to turn to others in love and in service. That is exactly what God is asking us to do. And Jesus is now asking for this rich man to do something for God. But Jesus is asking for this man to do something for their neighbors in great need. Because by doing that, he would experience this kingdom of God. He would help grow this kingdom of God here on earth. Matthew Skinner, a professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary, said that what was Jesus asking of this person in our gospel is to empower others around him, to empower those who lack resources by sharing his resources with them. And that is what we are also called to do as disciples of Jesus. Because by doing that, we will win friends. We will enter into new relationships we otherwise will never enter into. And if we're still thinking how we can obtain eternal life, how we can enter heaven by what we do, the answer is that we cannot. Jesus has already won that place for us by his death and by his resurrection. Jesus was making his way to the cross to do exactly what this rich man could not, to be stripped away from any power in order to obtain salvation for us. And because Jesus overcame death, and the grave, he now comes to us to also empower us to do the impossible, which is to turn to our neighbors, to help build loving relationships in our world that may seem impossible. And the only way to do this is by the Spirit of Jesus, by his holy presence in us, which we receive by the Word of God, but also we receive at Holy Communion, by the meal that we are about to receive, that Kayla is about to receive, so that we can empower others, so that we can experience and help grow the kingdom of God. And if we need an example of what that might look like today, we don't have to look very far. We can look and turn to our own children here at Christ Lutheran Church. This month, during their chapel time, they are collecting the students of the school here that we have. They are designating their October offerings to Lutheran Disaster Response, an organization that we partnered with to help those who have been affected by the hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico. May we learn from this generosity of children. May we turn to this wisdom of the children around us to see what the kingdom of God looks like in our midst. May we continue to form our identity around Jesus, who promises life for us, for our neighbors, now and into the future. Amen.